from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Line drive, base hit center field. One run scores. Myers being held up. Astros take the lead on a Mauricio Dubon base hit to center.
Doobie.
Ground ball. One big hop to Bregman. Takes his time, throws a strike. Astros with an 8-game winning streak. Win 8 in a row on this road trip. Josh Hader, a 2-inning victory in this 2-1 extra inning game where the Astros had a total of 2 hits tonight.
That's a sign of good teams, man. You find different ways to win. 2 hits, no problem. Astros 2-1 over the Rays, the 2 hits, a Jeremy Pena home run, and then that base hit that you just heard from Mauricio Dubon. Todd Callis and Jeff Blum on the call, and the Astros take care of business. 2-1 in 10 innings. The Astros now, Seth, 2.5 games in front of the Seattle Mariners. Man, what must they be saying in Seattle right now? Seattle had a 10-game lead on the Astros less than 2 months ago. The Astros, they made up that deficit a month ago. Like, they've been in this back and forth with Seattle since the middle of July, and now it feels like, man, the Astros are on the cusp of a real opportunity here coming up with the White Sox coming into town starting tomorrow. The Astros off today. The Mariners play again today, right, against the Tigers,
if
I'm not mistaken?
The Tigers today, then they have 3 games against the Pirates, and then 3 games against the Dodgers.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So...
There's opportunity afoot, Sean.
Big time opportunity, yeah, to maybe put a little daylight between the Astros and the Mariners.
Yeah, so last night, I actually am grateful for these last couple games because I always find it hard to dredge up hatred for the Rays. But after Altuve in his first at-bat on consecutive nights has a baseball thrown at his head, I'm ready to go. I now despise the Rays and everything they've instructed their pitchers to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Blanco, to his credit, went right at Yandy Diaz the first time Yandy Diaz was up at bat. So that was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah. So this 8-game run is like what we had talked about just a little over a week ago. Is that, hey, this is a team that's been there. Look. They had a really bad stretch. They had a really nice surge. And then in between, they've been a 500 baseball team. Mm-hmm. But that's what most good baseball teams are. They're a 500 baseball team that has a few surges during the year.
Yeah.
So in the middle of one of their surges,
yeah,
extend this damn surge as long as possible. Yiner Diaz continue to be absolutely glorious in the clutch. Alex Bregman, finally, you started playing like you want that money.
Yes.
Go get that money, young man.
Yeah.
Go get that young
get
money.
Paid.
Yes, go get that money, young man. Yes.
Yeah, young man.
I said go get that young money. That could be creepy.
That
I
sounds
don't know
weird.
What that is. I don't even know what that means, but it's probably something bad.
That sounds weird. It's been good. And honestly, the only loss on this entire road trip was that walk-off home run at the beginning of that Rangers series, right? That extra inning walk-off home run from Smith in that the very first game of the road trip, and then they won the next 8 games after that. The most significant thing last night was Ronel Blanco.
Yes.
Looking like the Blanco that had everybody debating whether or not he should have been on the All-Star team this year. 6 innings, 6 very clean innings. 2 hits, No walks, which is big because Blanco has had control issues at times, and then four strikeouts. Had to leave the game after only 73 pitches. I mean, an efficient outing for Ronel Blanco. 73 pitches in six innings. Had to leave the game, though, because on the last play of the bottom of the sixth, a line drive came back up the middle and glanced off his pitching hand, and so he got taken out of the game. Close game, too. So he was obviously hurting because it was a 1-0 game. It was 5-0. You just come out. But it's 1-0 game. He comes out. Joe Espada was asked about that following the game last night.
So that ball hit him like in the index finger. And when he came in, sore, kind of lost some feel to it, kind of numbed. So I thought that was, you know, best time just to take him out of the game. He did get some x-rays, came out negative. He's good to go, you know. So a bit sore, but, you know, he threw the ball really well.
Okay. So nothing to see here.
He hadn't pitched six innings in a game since July 14th.
Yeah.
And he just started to look like he was showing some wear and tear. And, you know, for the reasons they had to pull him in some of those games. I think you bring Kikuchi in, you bring Verlander back, you're able to give Blanco an extra rest day here or there. And maybe he's found his groove again.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's as simple as that. He's already pitched more innings this season than he ever has in his major league career. So that's going to continue to be something that's an obstacle or something to monitor that he has to fight through. But this was a very, very good sign last night. Plus, Sean, I feel like you didn't quite do that hit to his hands service. That was scary as hell.
Yeah, it was scary.
When he got that line drive, it looked like it hit him in the noggin at first. That was terrifying. So the fact that it was just a hand at first, and that he didn't look overly alarmed by it.
Yeah.
You know, he looked like it was sore. And he was kind of checking out as he was walking off the mound. He didn't look all that distraught in the dugout afterwards. So hopefully it's not even a bad bruise.
Dana Brown, man. Like, I started thinking after last night, because we should also point out the other big development last night. Josh Hader came in. Josh Hader came in a non-save situation and looked like save situation Hader. If you look at Josh Hader's splits this year, you look at his ERA and his splits in save situations and non-save situations, it gives the forensics of a man who just doesn't give a crap in non-save situations. Like, his ERA is...
Is he protesting his usage there?
Is he saying,
you want to bring me in a non-save situation?
Right,
fine,
right,
here's
right,
what you get.
Right.
Home run after home run.
That's right. So, but last night comes in and gives you the ninth and gives you the tenth. And with the rules the way they are now, where most of these games end in the tenth inning, with the ghost runner on second, having a guy like Hader who is willing to and able to go out and keep the game a tie in the ninth and then close the thing out in the tenth is a major, major weapon for this team. And I get thinking about Dana Brown when, like, the Josh Hader signing, which I think has a lot of Jim Crane's fingerprints on it too, but Dana Brown's the GM, so we're going to put it on his ticket. But the Josh Hader signing is starting to look like it's working out so far.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's a 5-year deal. And so you got that, the Kikuchi trade, which was widely panned by many, including myself, three starts in, looks pretty good. And Ronel Blanco, we need to point out that it was Dana Brown's idea to put Ronel Blanco, or treat Ronel Blanco at least, in spring training like a starting pitcher. Where would this team be without Ronel Blanco right now in the performance he had early in the season?
The interesting thing about Kikuchi is that, okay, obviously, even though I was starting to lose faith in the Astros pitching staff, development, analytics crew, and everything, I wondered if maybe they'd lost too many nerds to other teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is that you got to bring in guys who are also very receptive to all of that. And the Astros have very good word of mouth around in pitching circles.
Oh, yeah.
Like most pitchers feel like, all right, yeah, you go to Houston and they get you right. Or at least that's your best chance of getting right. But it's also got to be the kind of guy that can really absorb it and, you know, make use of the recommendations they're giving. It seems like Kikuchi is all in on all of this. Like, he just, there all these reports, everything you hear is that he just loves being in this environment and this culture with all the resources they have and the way the pitchers help each other and everything else like that. I'm feeling better and better about exactly how they're going to perhaps get the absolute best out of Kikuchi, including the other night. Because remember, after his first outing versus the Rays, I was nervous that, okay, well, he showed up and he threw a lot more changeups to a team that had seen the Rays had seen a certain version of Kikuchi a lot because he was pitching for the Blue Jays. So maybe it was just an ambush. He went out two nights ago and pulled back on the changeup usage.
Yep.
So there's definitely more to it than just one simplified ambushing of a team or his first couple promising starts. He's got a groove going now with the Astros.
Little cat and mouse game with the Tampa Bay Rays and Yusei Kikuchi. I like it. Texture pointing out, they're downplaying Blanco getting hit in the hand. That's what they said about Kyle Tucker. Talking about Kyle Tucker.
Why'd you have to bring that up, bro?
Right. I think he's fine,
I said I thought Kyle Tucker was fine the next day.
No, but Kyle Tucker was like down for a while and limping around. Like Blanco's walking off the mound, chit chatting with Yiner Diaz, looking down at his hand. Like
but you know how these things go.
No.
You take a 107 mile per hour exit velocity hit off after the heel of your hand. I don't know.
Okay, so you're somewhere in between me and this texter that I'm about to read when it comes to Ronel Blanco. I'm like, no big deal.
Yeah.
This guy says probably means he needs Tommy John surgery for his sore little finger.
I'm half expecting to hear that Kyle Tucker somehow gets Tommy John on his
right?
knee.
Yeah.
The first ever, here go the Astros, reinventing baseball again. They're going to do a Tommy John on his knee.
That's right. What's taking so long? We're having a hard time finding cadaver ACLs. Yeah.
It has been interesting this last week especially, or during this 8-game stretch. You see more and more things coming across my social media feed of the national baseball shows basically saying, oh, here we go again. Yep, that's yep. Nope, this is what
Astros?
What the Astros do.
Yeah.
Like it was. We knew that it was just too. It was too good to be true after that horrendous start that they had. That somehow they wouldn't figure out a way to fight their way back into it.
I have to go back. I know Jim Bowden was one of them. I think Ken Rosenthal was too. There were a few national people that were still, like, even at their worst, even when they were haggard with no makeup and clumps of hair ripped out and scars on their face and they looked ugly, there were a few national people like, yeah, whatever, just sit back. They'll be in the mix soon enough.
Well, there is something to it. There's validity to talking about the back of the baseball card when you're talking about current guys who are still very much in their prime.
Mm-hmm.
And there was enough on both the pitching and hitting side early in the season that was just flat out, you know, you can't reasonably expect that Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, and Yordan Alvarez are going to have their career worst year in one same year. Maybe it happens with one of them or something, but when you're back in May thinking about this, but it's just not going to happen with everybody.
Well, if someone had told you in spring training, if someone had told you in spring training that in the middle of August, the rotation would be Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown as your two, Ronel Blanco, Yusei Kikuchi, who wasn't on the team at the time, and then Spencer Arrighetti, that would be your five. I would guess that this is a team that's probably 10 games out of first place, that's several games out of a playoff spot. And and I guess that's where you credit Joe Espada. That's where you credit the pitching coaching staff, Miller and Murphy, the law offices of Miller and Murphy, on keeping this thing together. Two entities, the manager and the pitching coaches, that were very much under fire early in the season. I, at one point, was out on Joe Espada. I am now banging on the door saying, will you let me back in, Joe Espada? I like the cut of your jib. I like what you're doing. But that this is the five-man rotation that they're using right now. Because there's no Javier in here. There's no Urquidy. There's no Verlander right now. Like, it's pretty remarkable. They're 10 games over 500 when you frame it that way.
I think the thing about so the people who are saying, well, just wait on, you know, the Astros, it'll swing back around for you. When they were saying that was before Urquidy and Javier had gotten their Tommy Johns.
Yes, that's true.
There's been a transition there where they got better in a lot of ways, even as they were still getting decimated with the pitching. So there's that. I guess in some regards, we're spoiled because we've seen offenses like the 2019 offense,
right,
where you basically had two full, you had like, you had two top of the rotations in your two top of your batting orders in a batting order.
Yeah, yeah.
You had like your first, you had your first four guys, yeah. And then it was almost like you had another lead off, another another top four guys. Like we were spoiled with that. But like Alex Bregman, so Alex Bregman is bad and as horrendous as he was. If you're thinking about okay, reasons you shouldn't have panicked going back in time. If I could go back in time and say, all right, Alex Bregman will go on a tear. And like, this is how bad it was, as good as Bregman has been as of late. He's still just below his career worst season in OPS.
His OPS isn't even at 800 yet, I don't think.
It's at 764. His worst was 777 in 2021.
Yeah, yeah. It was awful.
Which was, it was really, it was bad. It was bad. Like, by OPS plus, he's like one above that year. So he's like, he's basically right now, he's played, it's interesting, he only played 91 games that season. Yeah. So Bregman being what he is, where he has long droughts and then long good stretches, maybe he would have played his way back into that.
That season that he missed half the season, yeah.
So like over the first 91 games this season, this year was even worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
So this was by far his worst stretch of like baseball, like the worst stretch of a baseball season he'd had. But he's fought his way back to getting closer to where he has been historically. He's not quite up there yet, but he's very close.
Yeah, the top of this order has been carrying this team lately. Not last night, obviously. You had a Peña home run. They only got two hits last night. But it was cool to see. I mean, these are games they were losing earlier this season, and they're up 2.5 now on the Seattle Mariners. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of keeping an eye on where they are against Minnesota after the way that I was treated by Minnesota fans back in early July. And they were like, oh, you're sad-ass non-playoff baseball team. We are in the play. Because that was when I went at, you know, they cheered Altuve getting beaned on the hand at a game I was at. So I've kept all the receipts from Minnesota. They're two games back of the Twins right now. So 65 and 55. The Twins are 67 and 53. I'm just keeping an eye on that. That's all. That's a me thing. I don't expect the listeners to really hyper care about that kind of thing.
And the Twins are 4.5 games back from the Guardians. So
they're a wild card team. we're a division leader. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, sorry about it. Yeah. Sorry about it, Twins. Yeah. We don't care. Yes, it's the AL West, but still.
Yes.
But still.
Verlander tonight in Corpus Christi. That's the big thing for the Strohs tonight. Strohs off tonight, Verlander start in Corpus Christi. And then I would expect if that goes well, Seth, that we could have Verlander back maybe for the, for the Red Sox series next week, something like that. We'll see. We'll see. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday? It's a Texans Ticket Thursday. All right, stay tuned. We're going to be giving away tickets in this hour. Not right now. We're going to be giving away tickets.
How can you be so much better than me mentally in almost every category, and then your one week
day of the week,
days of the week?
It's crazy. Yeah. It is weird.
So
Bob,
you need to see a neurologist.
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm
Trust
the happiest.
Me, I know.
I'm the happiest I've ever been. If the glitch is, I don't know what day it is.
I'm not talking about your happiness. I'm talking about your denseness.
I'm worried that the neurologist will find something that'll trigger something unhappy in me. I'm good with where I'm at.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got you. I got you.
I'm good with where I'm at. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Bobby Slowick. Nico Collins has new friends, including Stephon Diggs. How is Nico Collins handling their leading receiver last year? How is he handling the likelihood that he may not put up 80 catches and 1,300 yards this year? Bobby Slowick talked about that yesterday. You'll hear from him.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Coming up. All right, good to be with you. Hey, it is a Texans Ticket Thursday. Be listening. We're in the 9 o'clock hour now. You got a chance to win this hour in the 1 o'clock. Oh, is that for me?
Yeah.
Well, thank God we're giving tickets right away, because there's no such thing as a Texans Ticket Friday. That's the only reason I got it right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but you got it right is the point.
Yeah. Thank you, Seth.
Positive reinforcement.
I appreciate
classical
that.
Conditioning, Sean.
I appreciate that.
You're my little doggy.
9 a.m. hour, 1 p.m., 5 p.m., 9 p.m. hours. We're giving away tickets to the Texans and the Giants on Saturday at NRG Stadium. I was thinking about this yesterday, watching Stephon Diggs get a majority of the activity at practice yesterday. I'm like, man, Nico was the man last year. Nico had 80 catches, almost 1,300 yards. Now, Nico seems like a saint of a human being who doesn't really get all wrapped up in numbers and things like that. And he has been massively enriched by the team over the last month or so with the new contract. However, Bobby Slowick asked yesterday, hey, how's Nico handling all this new talent in the building?
He's exactly what you want. Nico doesn't change. He puts his head down and he works every day. Doesn't matter what time of year it is. It could be the off season. It could be in season. He could be fighting through an injury. He could be 100% healthy out there grinding. I mean, he's one of the more consistent players we have, which is why he's so fun to be around. I mean, he's got great energy. He's a great young man and a really good receiver. And I mean, the way he goes about his business is as professional as you could be. He's fun to coach.
I think the big thing here is where you see so many disgruntled wide receivers this offseason. There are a couple things that make me feel good about Nico Collins probably never being a headache for the duration of this contract that he has right now. It's one that in the offseason, he really, like, he seemed genuinely, when interviewed by TJ Houshmandzadeh, not to be all that concerned about the contract situation. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, knows what he's doing. And Rosenhaus knew that by signing earlier, they potentially might miss a bar being raised or something. And I think that, like, I know guys who have had Rosenhaus as an agent. Like, I think he probably had conversations with Nico where he wasn't trying to, you know, pull the wool over his eyes or anything. They probably had the conversation about how, hey, the money might be better if we wait. And the fact that he signed for what he did and when he did before prices started getting elevated, I think that I take him at face value when he said that he just tries not to worry about the money side of things. That'll be there if he performs, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, that's That's not like, it's not like you put somebody in the Hall of Fame or call him a saint because of that, but it does make it a lot easier to operate when you've got multiple other guys out there. At some point, you know, Nico will still have a couple years left on his deal when it's time to potentially give Tank a new deal. Yeah. So, you know, like that's where things can start to get dicey. If you look at Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, all right, it's hard to pay two wide receivers, and is there agitation there or what have you between those two or by them? I just don't worry about that with Nico. So I feel good about that. And it also, I think it also does speak to the fact that the Texans realized that because Nico had only had one really good year of production, that, you know, they had a reasonable argument to not pay him the same as Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Or other guys, and certainly Justin Jefferson or somebody like that.
Yeah.
But in being proactive and getting him at a relative discount, he's already, remember people were freaking out at the time because it made him the fifth or sixth highest paid wide receiver, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, he's already back out of the top 10.
Yeah, he's,
and that's,
yes.
And by next offseason, it'll be even lower than that.
Well, yeah, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Brandon Ayuk are all going to get deals here at some point in all likelihood. In the net, maybe not Chase, but eventually he will, but maybe not soon. But at least Lamb and Ayuk will. And I think the last one I saw, Seth, Nico was 10th. So he'll be pushed out of the top 10 once one of those guys signs. I could see, too, where if the two sides had been talking about a contract extension, the Texans and Nico Collins, and the numbers were hovering around where they wound up at, I could see Drew Rosenhaus. Like, if I were Nico's agent, I would think this way, which is, oh my God, they just traded for Stephon Diggs. If it's a numbers thing, which, you know, it kind of is because he's getting less than Amon-Ra St. Brown, who put up bigger numbers, I could see being Nico's agent saying, hey, look, man, you could be just as good a player this year, and maybe the Texans recognize that, but you could be just as good a player and put up 1,050 yards instead of 1,300 yards because of all these mouths that now need to be fed.
Yeah.
And this may be, if we're, you know, and I don't know what Nick's view of the world is when it comes to statistics at positions like running back and wide receiver and how important that is. My guess is Nick has a larger worldview of what it all looks like in terms of getting open and things like that. But the fact of the matter is Nico Collins is much less likely to put up 1,300 yards this year if everybody remains healthy because of just you've got so many good weapons out there. So I could see Drew Rosenhaus saying, let's do this now. And I also think, too, Seth, like if he hadn't done it now, this would be a storyline in camp. Like Nico Collins' contract year would be something that we were discussing, and I think it would be something that in a weird way would kind of hover over the team in terms of who's getting the ball thrown to them throughout the year. Maybe not with the guys like Nico and Steph and all that, but certainly amongst the media and probably amongst some fans, and damn near you better know that it would be among fantasy owners, that the fact that they got this deal done, like there is no point of drama on this team anywhere. That would have been a little thing if Nico didn't have a contract extension.
If you want to think about, when you start talking about team building and, okay, how much money do you put into which positions?
Mm-hmm.
Right now the Texans are second in the league in cash spent on wide receivers.
Okay.
Chicago with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Roma Dunze are the highest in the league.
Okay.
So that's just cash this year. So signing bonuses, et cetera. That's going to change. You can't sustain that once you pay your quarterback,
no.
I don't think. And that's another part of it is, okay, that if it works out with Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs isn't around in a couple years when CJ's eligible for an extension, then it becomes a lot easier to have a manageable wide receiver cap situation.
Yeah.
When we're getting too nerdy on all
that's
this.
That's okay.
Basically. Pay money, less money, good.
No. I'm curious. They're number two, you said?
Yeah.
Can I guess at who's number one?
I already told you.
Oh, I didn't hear. Oh, sorry.
Chicago Bears.
Oh, Chicago.
That's why I was mentioning DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Roma Dunze.
Oh, they're number one. I would have guessed Philly or Miami just based on
Miami's number three with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, who I saw one of those aggregator accounts say that there's rumors that Odell Beckham Jr. is just in Miami for the, quote, Will Fuller retirement plan.
Oh, yeah. That's, who did you guess was number three?
I guessed it would be either Philly or Miami, because Philly gave that big extension to A.J. Brown and to Devontae Smith. They extended both of those guys this offseason.
This is all out of whack. Yeah, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, but this is cash spending, so they might have deferred some of that salary.
Maybe. I just say whenever they give new contracts out, there's always these big signing bonuses. So
average value, Philadelphia is third.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Miami's number one in that.
Cam Akers. If you're looking for other things to watch in the game on Saturday, the battle at running back is an interesting one. Joe Mixon's going to be the starter for this team. The battle at running back to back up Joe Mixon, I don't think it's just going to get handed over to Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce and Cam Akers, maybe a couple of these other guys, are in a battle right now. Akers has looked good, I think better than expected since they brought him in, based on being a guy with two Achilles tears on his medical sheet. Here was Bobby Slowick yesterday on Cam Akers' skill set.
Yeah, it's easy to see Cam is familiar with the outside zone scheme. L.A., when he was in L.A. and Minnesota, they both did something pretty similar to what we do. So not a lot of conversation with him has to take place with how to run zone in general. Now, we've had to talk about other run schemes we do. We ran a lot of gap. We've run a lot of other stuff that he's had to adjust to a little bit. But he wants to know it all. You know, he is thirsty for knowledge. He's always asking questions. He wants to make sure that when we put him in, he's doing the right thing. He really wants to do anything he can to help us.
I think I understand getting excited about Cam Akers. I'm excited about the fact that he does look from the day he showed up in camp. I was really surprised that he was moving as well as he was. I was surprised to see him out on the field the first day, because he's still 9 months. He's only 9 months removed from his second Achilles tendon tear. Mm-hmm. And he looked really good. I just know that, look, since his first Achilles tendon tear, he hasn't been the same guy that he was, you know, his rookie year when everybody was so excited about him. So I would hesitate to call him the number two, but I think he could be used a lot. I think it's going to be situationally. At this point, I'd feel like, okay, they probably like him as a third down option a lot, where, the third and five, he can run, but he's also a receiving threat, those types of situations. But just even, like, physically, he's not built like a bell cow.
But I
could see him getting used situationally, and some games a lot, some games other. And beyond that, I'm open to the upside. I'm still kind of skeptical about how much you can use him and how impactful it will be.
What's more likely to you at this point? And obviously, we've got two more preseason games and a bunch of practices left. But right now, what's more likely to you, that both Cam Akers and Damian Pierce make this team, or that only one of them makes this team? I'm not even asking you to pick which one. Do you think
it's a really good question. I think it's most likely that only one makes the team.
Okay, yeah.
Well, including if one gets traded away or something.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Not cut necessarily.
Because
I think it's hard to keep, especially if Agumbo Ali is going to be there because of special teams.
Right.
Like, how many running backs are you going to keep on the roster?
Yeah.
You gotta make a tough decision.
You got a fullback? They're going to keep a fullback. This team always has a fullback, right? Do you keep a fullback and four running backs? On a team where we're also discussing the possibility of keeping Steven Sims and six receivers, you know?
And they do it well, and they keep – I mean, they've had three running backs plus a fullback before. It's that also, though, I think Damian Pierce usually operates best with a fullback. It's in gap schemes. It's in powers. It's in the pin and pull type stuff. Like, so it's – They're different. I don't know. I think one of them doesn't make the team.
It is a big thing to watch these last few practices and these last couple games. Let's give the tickets away. It's Texans Ticket Thursday. We got a lot of people waiting to win tickets. So good news. You got one more chance, and it's right now. Well, you got four more chances. This is the first one. The other three will come at 1, 5, and 9 p.m. today. But let's do it. Caller number 5 wins a pair of club-level tickets, 713-572-4610. Call right now. It's a Texans Ticket Thursday, and you are on your way to check out the Texans and the Giants this Saturday in some really good seats. 713-572-4610. Breakout player for all 32 teams. CBS did it. I disagree with the Texans' choice, only because I feel like he's broken out already. I'll give you my candidates, and we'll talk about it coming up next. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. CBSSports.com has breakout players for all 32 teams in the NFL. So let's start alphabetically and go through all 32. I'm just kidding. It's interesting. The breakout player for the Houston Texans, and there are lots of candidates on this list. There are several young players who have broken out already. I would submit, Seth, that the one they chose for the Houston Texans, I went at the Texans and the Colts, because if they're right about the Colts, then this season could be a little problematic. We'll get to that in a second. But the breakout player for the Houston Texans, and this is from CBSSports.com, it's Jared Dubin, who is one of their NFL writers. He's got Derek Stingley Jr. Did Derek Stingley Jr. do enough last season to say that he's already kind of broken out, I think?
I think a lot of people are just waiting to see him play a full season of that.
So health factors into the breakout.
Yeah, I think it really very much is. It's still a futures bet in a lot of ways with him.
Yeah.
And I think and then define breakout.
Yeah.
I guess if it's in the minds of the public. Yeah, Derek Stingley's not a household name the way that Sauce Gardner is. And I think that largely it would take a full season of him playing that way and being a genuine all-pro and all of that. I wonder if Derek Stingley had played his 11 games at the beginning of the season and then the Texans had made the playoffs still, but, people would have brought up, wow, who knows, maybe if Derek Stingley had been healthy, then that could have been the difference. Sometimes the timing of it matters. You start, the narratives get written about a third of the way through the season. It's hard to bust the narrative.
It's a great point.
A third of the way through last season, Derek Stingley wasn't playing football.
Mm-hmm.
So, so Derek Stingley could quote unquote break out if the Texans start off strong and he's healthy and plays really well for the first four or five games of the year.
Yeah, he looks great. I mean, if we all agree on definition of breakout being Stingley is eligible for this sort of subjective kind of thing, he's queued up for it, man. Here's what he says real quick. Stingley, as you point out, missed time due to injury each of his first two seasons. When he was on the field, he's one of the best corners in football. He allowed just 21 completions on 39 targets via Pro Football Focus with a 71.6 passer ratings on throws in his direction last year. Great ball production with 6 breakups, 5 interceptions in just 11 games. That's crazy. He's only targeted 39 times the whole season last year, and that's 6 PBUs and 5 picks.
Yeah, and the picks kind of were of the baiting variety. There was one time where I thought that D'Amico did a great job of there were times last year where they baited people with Petrie's over-aggressive nature because on one of those picks, they kind of it was enough of a read that it looked like Jalen Petrie was jumping an underneath route, but that was actually what the coverage demanded, and Derek Stingley kind of just lay in wait and pounced. So that's where a lot of his hits are going to come, or a lot of his picks will have to come from, I think, is when they can trap people because they just the teams aren't testing him in one-on-one man coverage nearly as much.
Yeah, that was, I think, was that the Denver game where he came across the field and kind of, he had a pick his rookie year. He had one pick his rookie year, and it was in the game at Jacksonville where it was a cagey kind of play, but it was an easy one in the back of the end zone that Trevor Lawrence threw.
One he kind of looked disgusted with himself afterwards. He was just kind of, because it was at the end. It was a YOLO ball at the end of the half.
Yeah.
It was a shot into the end zone at the end of the half.
Well, this was
kind of like disgusted with himself, put through the ball down.
No. This was Stingley's rookie year. The only pick he had his rookie year. Yeah, that's okay. It was the only pick he had his rookie year was kind of a routine play. Where I was going with this was like when he started making picks this year, where you're like, oh, that's third overall pick in the draft kind of interceptions right there.
Well, you know? The one that he had off of the Will Anderson deflection, that would have been easy to write off as like, okay, well, he was in the right place at the right time. But it was actually, it was his ball skills in that moment.
Because
he has freakishly good ball skills. Everything that frustrates you about some good cornerbacks where they don't know when to turn and look for the ball, all those things. Like, he's able to turn and contort himself and then has good hands to boot.
Yeah.
That you can see why they thought about, perhaps moving him to wide receiver at one point in his career.
Yes.
I give him full credit for that interception because, A, his guy was covered. He could have made a play on the ball even if it was a well-thrown ball.
Yep.
May have still been an interception, but he had to adjust to it immediately and kind of scoop it one-handed out of the air.
Yeah, I think that was Denver also, if I'm not mistaken.
That was Cleveland.
Denver or Arizona because it was a home game.
Okay.
It was early on. I think that one might have been a pick six if it didn't get deflected. Because Will got a piece of it and it went down. He had to go to the ground to catch that football. So that was, Stingley is the breakout guy. Now, Jared Dubin has Anthony Richardson as the breakout guy for the Indianapolis Colts. If Anthony Richardson has a true breakout season for the Indianapolis Colts, Seth, are the Houston Texans AFC South champions again?
If he has a breakout season.
A breakout type season, like a big time. Like, breakout to me is like you're in Pro Bowl conversation, you know?
It gets a lot dicier.
Yeah.
Colts had an interesting offseason. Colts did almost nothing to bring in free agents, but they did retain some very key and critical free agents
of
their own.
A lot of them, yeah.
So it's almost, you know, like usually running it back exactly the same, even for championship teams, doesn't always work out. We've seen that in baseball. Running it back you're never the same team afterwards, but they still have a really good young core nucleus. And I think if Anthony Richardson is, which I'm skeptical that he's going to have a breakout season.
I am too.
Then it's anybody's race at that point. But he's still, in a very, very small sample size of his first preseason game, you still see some erraticism. You can see that his decision making is not at the same level as CJ Stroud's. That's one game back in the preseason after not having played for a long time. But I think you got to remember that, man, it's like he's having another rookie season. Yeah, he got to sit and watch on the sideline and everything, but he only played four games and was banged up. And the other thing about, he's been injured all the time since his high school career.
Yep.
Since his senior year in high school, he's been banged up and injured a lot.
This is not new for him. Absolutely. The other candidates I had for the Texans that I kind of jotted down, you know, if you're worried about Stingley being hurt or if you feel like he's already broken out, the three I wrote down were Kamari Lassiter, you know, who's being handed a big responsibility. Kenyon Green, assuming a guard can break out. Like, breakout feels more like a sexy skill position or DB, like a statistically measured position kind of thing. Or Jalen Petrie. You know, Jalen Petrie is the one I would choose to break out of those.
Jalen Petrie, I can't call a breakout because I feel like he's already broken that hymen. The rookie year, everybody was gushing about how incredible it was that he got all these tackles and everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like that breakout, even if it was premature, it was enough to break the hymen.
I'm watching a highlight video of Stingley's interceptions, and you're right. The Cleveland interception is the one you're thinking of that was at the end of the half, where he gets up and he's just kind of flips the ball away because they were getting killed in that game. They were getting destroyed.
It was a whatever ball. Yeah, it was like, all right, last. It was a desperation heave at the end
from Flacco. Yeah.
Which I credit Stingley.
Yeah,
I like that. It's the exact opposite of getting up and acting like you just won the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, after a meaningless. You know, the most annoying thing ever is the defensive back that comes up and makes a stop. It like just passed the first down line and then gets up and acts like he just pulled off something great.
Yeah.
He said basically like, nope, I don't grade this as this doesn't count.
I'm looking
this
at
is,
it.
This is like getting on base on an error.
Literally the last play of the half. I'm watching it again and Christian Harris comes over and does the dusting him off thing, you know, like, and Stingley's like, Stingley's like holding the ball, like, okay, bro.
All right.
Yeah. Stop dusting me off. Okay.
I'm
looking at the score. We're down 22-7. Stop dusting me off.
And
okay.
In my mind, giving Einstein an attaboy for solving a simple algebra equation or something. X plus 3 equals 12. Solve for X. Good job, Einstein.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, let's do one more here. This is Frank Ross yesterday. The other thing to watch in the game this Saturday, we get another game worth of the new kickoff rules. Frank Ross sounds like he's still just as confused as everybody else as to what direction this whole thing's going.
Yep, challenging, exciting, on both ends of the spectrum, challenging and exciting, not figured out. All right, I don't have their secret recipe, and hopefully whoever thinks they do would be remiss and say that. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be an evolving process. Week 2, week 3, week 4 are going to look different than week 8, 9, and 10. So we're going to continue to evolve and continue to ask players for feedback. One thing I do know is it's going to be a challenge weekly for us to cat and mouse, and there's going to be so much new exploratory things from, call it, the other return units and us in coverage, that we're going to have to adjust mid-game every time we step out on the field. So we're going to see how versatile we can be in making adjustments.
He sounds like a COVID-era health official.
Dude, he sucks.
You're like,
it sounds like Fauci.
Honestly, we don't know the hell we're looking at, all right? We're going to try anything and everything.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. White sound surfaces.
He does. Why is the kickoff coverage team wearing masks? Why are they doing this?
I bet that the analytics department is working overtime on this stuff. You know, they're trying to figure out, they probably every week, they're like, all right, we're going to go in, dice it out, figure out what's worked for some teams and not others in all these situations. And they're just going to try to figure out exactly what all this means. And at some point, I wonder at which point some analytics staff start saying, just kick it into the end zone.
Dude,
just kick it. We'll take the ball to 30. Just kick it into the end zone.
God, he sounds like me when I was trying to assemble furniture for my kids when they were young. I'm like, I think this goes here and that goes, I don't know.
I feel like that is a lot more cussing.
You would be right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.